This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
We're talking to Rebecca Jupp from the Melbourne Zoo. She's one of the carnivore keepers there. The caracal cat. Rebecca, thank you very much for your time today.
No worries.
Now, the caracal cat is very different to other cats. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, the caracal is a small cat, and by small cat we mean under 20 kilograms. But it is very different from the other small cats because it's the largest of the small cats. So it's between about 15 to 17 kilograms, and they're very muscular, very agile animals. So they're allowed to hunt different things than your other small cats usually do.
Now, I'm looking at a picture of one at the moment, and they have the most largest ears.
Yeah, they've got very interesting ears, actually. The name caracal comes from a Turkish word, which is karakulak. And that means black ears. And one of the strange things about the caracal, what's strange to us, is that they actually have these tassels on the end of their ears. And the tassels can reach about 5 centimetres or more. And they stand upright at birth, but then as the cat ages, they gradually start to droop and they hang down like tassels. So we don't really know the reason as to why they have them. There's a lot of different reasons. Some researchers think that it helps to camouflage the animal in tall grass by breaking up the outline of its head when it hunts, and other people think that it might actually be communication between caracals themselves, but we still don't really know why.
Okay, now why are the big ears? I'm guessing that's to help them with their hearing when it comes to hunting, is that correct?
Absolutely, they've got excellent sense of hearing. They've got a lot of different complicated muscles in their ears. They've got over about 20 different muscles that just operate the ears alone. So they've got really good hearing. They've got excellent eyesight as well and pretty good sense of smell. So they utilise all of that to help them hunt.
In the wild, what do they normally hunt?
Well, usually they'd prefer small mammals, but they have been known to bring down small gazelle, and that's simply just because they are strong enough to do it. But usually what they would bring down is rodents or hares. They're especially very good at hunting birds. It has been seen that caracals can leap about up to 3 metres in the air, and that's from a standing position, so they can actually pounce onto the birds, and as the birds fly up into the air, like pigeons or so forth, they will actually jump up and pull them down. So they're actually excellent hunters for birds.
Wow. Now, I believe they're really good at camouflaging themselves in the wild. Do we know how many are actually still in the wild?
Well, no, actually we don't. There's a lot of different subspecies of caracals. There's about 9. So it does vary depending on what subspecies you're talking about. They have a very wide distribution, and in Africa, it is believed that the caracal numbers are doing okay. Although in South Africa, unfortunately, they do get in trouble with the local farmers because they have been known in times of drought or any of the harder seasons, they have been known to attack livestock. So they do get shot by hunters occasionally. But generally in Africa, the numbers look okay at the moment. But it's in Asia that's the real worry for caracals. Their numbers are a lot less, but because they're such a shy animal, it's very hard for them to know what their numbers are. But because of the human development in Asia, which is now coming into the caracal's natural habitat, it's a lot harder for them than it would have been, say, even 50 years ago.
I've been reading an article about them, and it says that they can actually be made captive as well. Domesticated, I mean.
Well, not truly domesticated, I guess, in the sense of domestic cats, but they certainly can be tame. And in some countries, in Asia, for example, Indian and Iranian nobility, they used to tame caracals. And what they would do was they'd have bets on a caracal jumping into, say, 10 or more pigeons. And when the pigeons came off the ground, they used to bet amongst themselves how many pigeons the caracal could take down at once. So that's actually where the saying or the expression came from, which was to put a cat amongst the pigeons. That's where it's believed to have come from.
Oh, wow. Now, you've got some caracals at the Melbourne Zoo?
Yes, we do. We've actually got one caracal, and he's a male. His name is Mutumba. He's 12 years old, so he's a middle-aged cat now, but he's the only caracal now in Australia.
And why just have one? Obviously, you're not going to be breeding him, is that right?
Yeah, no. The way zoos work, basically now, it's changed a lot from the last 30 years, but the way we work now is we have to choose very carefully which species we breed, and in order to make sure that the population is a population that will continue into the next 50 to 100 years that we can have a viable genetic plan for. Now, with the caracal, unfortunately, we don't have a breeding program here in Australia. So Northern Hemisphere, like North America and European zoos, concentrate more on breeding the caracal. So we do have one left, but unfortunately he's a bit old now. And yeah, he really is the last caracal you'll see in Australia.
So he's a bit of a leftover,
unfortunately. Yeah, he is. That's why he's special.
Does he get lonely at all, or are they happy being solitary?
Not really. He's a solitary cat and a very territorial cat. So that means that he pretty much wouldn't tolerate another cat, especially another male cat, but he wouldn't even tolerate a female if she's not in season in his area. So they're very territorial, and they only even tolerate the keepers so much because we feed them, but they do prefer to be on their own. So yes, once they leave their mother and they leave their siblings, they pretty much are a solitary territorial cat.
And that's how they are in the wild as well?
Yeah.
Now, you were just saying a second ago that they tolerate the keepers. I know when I came down to the Melbourne Zoo a while ago that you don't really get in close with some of the larger cats. Do you get into the enclosure with a caracal, or is it kind of kept...
We can if we have to, but he has a very dominant personality, and as I was saying, he is territorial. So there's a few reasons we try not to. Firstly, because it is his territory, and as a respect for that, we don't want to try and scare him by going into that territory unless we absolutely have to. But also, yeah, he's new here. He's been with us for about 2 months. So he's still getting used to us, and we're still getting used to him. So we're not entirely sure how he'll go if we do go in with him very often. So we only do it when we have to, and we're just pretty much getting to know each other at this stage. But he's not so much aggressive, but we really, at this point, we don't want to find out. We'd like to just let him get used to us first.
Oh, for sure. Now, Rebecca, whereabouts in the Melbourne Zoo can you find him? What section of the zoo?
He's in the small cat avenue. So when you come into the Melbourne Zoo, you'll have some meerkats and bears, and this is towards the centre of the zoo. So there's actually just near where they've got new works now going on for the marine precincts. What they have is the small cats area. It's a little hard to find, but you can ask one of the keepers, and he's actually right there next to the serval, which is another close relative of his.
Is he hard to find because they're so hard to find in the wild as well?
He shouldn't be too hard to find in his exhibit. He does blend in a bit, but if you're patient and you look around, you should be able to see him. And he's not very shy once he's on exhibit. So, no, you should be able to find him pretty easy.
And, Rebecca, you're one of the carnivore keepers, which sounds very exciting. Which other animals do you get to look after as being a carnivore keeper?
I get to look after the small cat. So he's on my round with the serval, which I mentioned before. And we've also got two fishing cats. And we have binturong, a coati, and also a porcupine. So I get to look after quite a diverse lot of animals.
Are you a cat person over a dog person then, I'm guessing?
I'm actually both. I prefer both. I have no preference for one or the other. I think they're just very different and unique in their own way. So I can see how some people like one or the other, but for me, they just offer different things.
Gotcha. Well, Rebecca, thank you very much for taking the time to have a chat to us today about the caracal.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
My pleasure. That was Rebecca Jupp talking about the caracal cat. Of course, you can see that and all the great animals down at Melbourne Zoo. If you'd like to find out more about the Melbourne Zoo, just go to zoo.org.au.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.